Most financial advisors follow the industry playbook. Elite advisors choose a different path. I'm Sten Morgan. Welcome to the Elite Financial Advisor Podcast, where top advisors share the strategies, mindsets, and the stories behind building a better business, adding more value, and the courage to grow through resistance. Because becoming an elite advisor is not about working harder and longer. It's about choosing a better path. Every single advisor listening, you need a junior advisor. You need someone that's coming alongside you that's going to take the things that are not your superpowers anymore.
You really need a leader who's going to push you because, like I said, human nature left alone, you're going to do things the slow way.
There's head trash around hiring. Do I make enough money for this? Should I wait longer? I don't know how to train people. And all of those fears are valid, but we've systematically gone through and just picked them off and said, okay, if this is a fear, how do I address that? Okay, if I don't think I'm a trainer, who can help me come up with a training plan? Like, there are solutions to all those problems. But the thing I've never questioned is, like, I will not reach my potential if I try to do this alone. Welcome to the Elite Financial Advisor Podcast. Today, I'm bringing on Kyle Francis. He is my associate advisor. So I said, hey, make sure you say nice things about me, but I want him to give his perspective on how it was for him to join Legacy, how to start interacting with me, how to add value as quick as possible. So my hope is with this episode that for younger advisors listening, you are encouraged that you can add value faster than you think. And for the senior advisors and the leaders out there, that you do have responsibility to set them up for success. You have a good feedback loop with them. Are you having regular check-ins? Do they have clarity on what it looks like to be successful in their job? And this is a skill I had to get much better at. When I got into business, it was, hey, go get them, figure it out on your own. That was a grind. I learned a lot from it, but I know there's a better way to be a great leader while also challenging somebody to exceed their own expectations. Kyle, welcome to the podcast.
Stoked to
be
here.
Everybody listening, if you have not heard of Kyle, you will know of Kyle. Everybody, Kyle is my partner advisor, junior advisor, whatever title. Helper of all things. So I wanted to have him on today to talk about how easy it is to work with me, how easy your job is. But all seriousness, I think a lot of advisors we coach and get to hang out with, that they have a desire to bring up other advisors, to build a team so they're not a bottleneck. And I want to bring you in to unpack that process. I think at times people can look at our practice from outside and be like, man, they've just figured it out. And it's like, we're kind of in the process of figuring stuff out. And there's things we do well. And one thing I've been trying to figure out for a lot of years is, how do I bring on a young advisor, push them beyond their limits within a healthy way, and help them exceed their own expectations? And so let's step back. For everybody listening, how did you get into the business? Did you always know you wanted to be an advisor, or how did you find yourself working here at Legacy?
Yeah, it's a great question. First of all, thanks for having me, Sten. I feel like I got the call up from the minors. When you
did, man.
So I'm like, let's freaking
go. I gave you a little notice.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, it started in college. I was seeing advisors and how they were running their business. And I was like, man, that'd be really cool if I could do that one day. And there's a lot of things I was seeing with advisors that I didn't necessarily want to be and wasn't motivated to run my practice how they do. And then there was advisors that I saw and I was like, dude, I could totally do that. And that's my dream career. So that's what I shot for. Moved to Nashville for a couple months before I started working for you. I was in crawl spaces every single day other than Sunday, and I was selling home foundations. And that was a grind, but I'll tell you, it was a great experience. And then obviously we started the interview process, the five-step hiring process to work here, and it's been taking off since then. So it's been an amazing experience.
So your first experience into the business was an internship, your parents' financial advisor, like what was that first experience where you're like, wow, that looks like something I might want to do?
Yeah, I started sophomore year in college. I shadowed my parents' financial advisor. And then the summer before my senior year, I had an internship at Baird, which is where I met my wife. Super cool story, but we won't get into that whole story. But yeah,
Baird,
it was great.
I love it.
Yeah. I saw how the advisors were operating and I loved it. I realized this was the career I wanted to get into. Just went full into this career mode in college, took a couple exams to differentiate myself, and then moved to Nashville, like I said, and wanted to find a company where it made sense for me to start. I did not want to go the insurance route, did not want to be a salesperson. I wanted to be exactly what we teach at EAN, an actual financial advisor, curator of great ideas, a coach, and this was the perfect opportunity, so it made sense.
What was it like for you joining Legacy? Because there's an element of a younger advisor coming in where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing yet. Like, I don't have a lot to offer initially, except for, one of the reasons we hired you, Mini, was like, man, this guy seems hungry. You know, and there's also like an air of humility there, not entitlement. But what was that like for you coming into a business being like, wow, they're already doing a lot of great stuff. How do I fit into this?
That's a great question. Yeah, it was tough. And I know we talk about this all the time, but first couple months, I was like, wow, this is a very high level work environment where everyone is already pretty comfortable in their roles. There wasn't a ton of opportunities with things that I was seeing going on where I could immediately add value unless I asked to just send, what can I do to help you this week? And obviously there's ways to do it where you're not annoying. I wasn't knocking on your door every 15 minutes saying, where can I help? But sure, it was challenging finding that perfect medium of knowing how to ask for help and knowing where I could immediately add value. There was some areas where when I started working for you that I could obviously come in and do some things that were super helpful, take things off your plate so we could focus more on growing and prospecting. But yeah, it was a challenge because, I mean, I was fresh out of college. And for anyone who's in college who knows they want to get into this industry, you might think that you have some of it figured out and you know what you're talking about, but I promise you, you don't. Like, unless you are way smarter than me, which a lot of people are, you probably think that, you know, it's going to be easy. It's not. And I can tell you that right now. And everybody who's in this industry and has been doing this for a while knows that. But I just had to humble myself because there was some times where I thought, like, I could probably start and in 6 months be better than a large part of how people run their practice. And that could not have been further from the truth. And that came from me just getting into it, seeing how you ran things. And I was like, I've got a lot of work to do. So let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. I had some experience in the past where trying to find this line of like, how do I push this person to exceed their own expectations, apply a correct amount of pressure while still being available and coaching through it. I didn't have that coming into the business. And so I think I've wanted to do it better than I had it. But based on how I came up in the business, there's still this element of like, you got to figure it out. And so I remember when we were interviewing you, the question I asked you at the, you know, this circle represents everything necessary for you to achieve your full potential. And I asked you, what percentage of this circle is your responsibility and what percentage is mine? Do you remember what your answer was?
80%.
You got it right. Not that there's a right answer, but that was the same number in my mind. It was like, all right, as your leader, as the founder of this business, I will take 20%. Like, I need to have systems. I need to hire well. Good culture is important. I need to give you the time that you need for me to coach you up. But still, there's this element of like, it's my responsibility to drive towards my result. And I think that's a big reason why we get along so well. But I do also get to experience you like on the days where it's like, man, can I do anything right? And then the days where it's just like, let's go. You know, we're texting each other like top of the world. Good things are going well. How are you handling the, you know, that swing of results and how it affects you emotionally each day?
Not well. No, I'm just kidding.
Kind of. <You're>
Yeah, I mean, a big part of it for me is obviously my faith, just praying about it. And that's a huge thing that I love about working here is like, you pray in the Monday morning meetings, the Legacy meetings, the EAN meetings. Like, so thankful that I have a leader who shares that same mindset with me. But yeah, the highs and the lows of what we're trying to accomplish and what we're both doing together is not easy. It can be great. And sometimes it's like, just like you said, where it's like, I can't do anything right. And I felt that countless days, and I haven't even been here for a full year yet. And so it's probably true in most industries that you go into, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. And it's about just being able to level yourself emotionally. And I remember, I mean, there's stories that me and you have together that we don't have to share on the podcast, but there is some times where I was like, dude, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Like, that was my internal feelings that I had, was I don't deserve to be here. I'm not good enough for this role. I don't know if I can be the person you want me to be. And it's battling that. Like, it's what we talk about on the coaching side of like the internal battles that you face, most of it is head trash. And if you have someone to talk through what you're feeling, that makes a world of difference.
Yeah.
Raise your hand if you've ever been to a financial advisor event that didn't really change you. Maybe the speakers were interesting, maybe you had a few good conversations, but when you got home, nothing about your business actually improved. I've been to a lot of these events over the years. Events full of inspiration, but short on practical strategies you can actually use. The advisor of the future knows how to clearly communicate their value, prospect with intention, and deliver financial planning advice clients actually understand. That's why we built How to Charge Live. This isn't an event built around hype or theory. It's an event built for advisors by advisors. 1,000 advisors have attended How to Charge Live, including advisors with more than 20 years of business experience. And over, we hear the same thing. This is the best advisor event I've ever attended. I want to personally invite you to join me at my office in Franklin, Tennessee this October for 2 days focused on helping you build more valuable business. I'm going to walk you through my entire process, how to communicate your value well, how to add value through fee-based financial planning, and how to create a framework to help you scale your business faster. Seats are limited, so visit howtochargelive.com to secure your seat now.
Curious about the advice we could give, because there's two sides of this equation. There's the up-and-coming talent, you know, the new advisor, which our industry needs more new advisors. Then there's the established advisor, and it's somewhat of a calling to like to hire people and train them up, because it's not easy, and you don't know if it's going to work out. And from like a return on investment, like it takes a while to probably say like, oh, this person is now helping me grow the company where I'm mostly pouring into them for a while, and there's a risk here. So what would you say to young advisors that are working on a team or the senior advisor or people that want to get into this industry, but are really coming asking, hey, I'd love a salary and I'd love you to train me to have a career, but I do have these limiting beliefs on how I can actually add value?
That would be a tough ask. I mean, if someone had that mindset and articulated it that way, I don't think they'd have a very good success rate of finding what they're looking for. You have to come into somewhere with some kind of value that you're bringing to the firm. Because if I was to come to you when I was interviewing at Legacy and I just out in the open said, I have no idea what I'm talking about. I can't bring you any value, but pay me a salary because I need to survive. And let's just hope this thing works out.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what you would have said to me. You would have been like, there's the door, like, wish you best of luck, go to some other place and try to figure it out. And thankfully, like, I have enough common sense to know like that never would have worked. And I had to build up some kind of value to come to a place and say, okay, if you're going to hire me and pay me, that's not how business works, is you just show up and take your salary and leave it whenever you leave at the end of the day. Like this, you have to bring value to the firm. So for the young advisors who are looking for an opportunity like I have now, I'd say do whatever you can to build up that value in yourself to where once you land that job, you're going to be adding value to the firm on day one. Is it easy? No. Did I do that 100%? Absolutely not. Like not even close. And I honestly, I wish I could go back in time and done things that I'm doing now so the transition would have been smoother. And honestly, that's still something that I'm facing every day. Like how can I continue to build up my value as working for you to where I'm still bringing more value than I am today and like I did yesterday. So yeah, I'd say don't come in with a selfish mindset, because where's that going to get you in life? Even outside of business, it's never a good place to be.
You know, I struggle at times with the tension between like a work environment where it's like it's never good enough, to where people, where we're not really pausing and celebrating. That's not my natural. It's like kind of what's the next hill for us to take. And so I think there's been patience both ways on me pressing and, you know, Kyle, you can do it, go get them. And then you coming to me and being like, hey, I need more help. You know, and there were times where we had to figure out how you were comfortable asking questions, because I would say, well, why didn't you come to me a week ago? And you're like, well, I just, something in me was like, if I ask a question or ask for help, that means I wasn't doing it right. And I do think there's a healthy season, you know, 12 months, 24 months, where it's like, no, you're supposed to ask questions. I see you, I'll give you credit on you're getting much better at that. But when we look back at kind of the value we're able to add pretty quickly, is like, it wasn't technical ability. You know, it's like you're studying to get licenses, your CFP stuff, like that's kind of in progress. It wasn't that you were like the biggest prospector closer yet, but very quickly you were able to come in and like project manage stuff that I was doing kind of in addition to other things that, like, for every practice out there, there are things the lead advisor is doing that they don't have to do. And a young advisor can come in and say, hey, let me manage that workflow. Hey, let me optimize to make sure we don't drop the balls on that. So as you look back now, what are some things you recognize that with your awareness and knowledge today, you're like, I could have done those on day one?
There's a lot of things. And a lot of the reasons why I think it took a little bit longer than we probably both wanted it to for me to start adding the value I'm adding now is because I didn't have the personal confidence in myself to think I could do it. There's things around me that I saw people were doing where I was like, I could probably do that if I was comfortable asking people to take that off their plate. But to answer your question, I mean, there's so many things, like you said, project managing things, the financial planning pipeline, building more financial plans. I have all the resources that I need to do that. And you're always there for help whenever I have questions. And so honestly, coming to you even sooner than I did and saying, Sen, I really think I can help you crank out these plans like now. There's no reason why I can't do that. You gave me the tools. I mean, we have eMoney, Holistic Plan, the Horse's Mouth, which that is a real software. If you're wondering, that's actually what it's called. PlanScore, which is obviously huge. I mean, PlanScore makes my job so easy. And it was all there for the taking. I just had to reach out and grab it. And so a lot of that was just like head trash. Like, I'm only 22 years old. How can I expect to come in and do all that stuff? I want to, but I don't really think I'm qualified yet. It's just doing it because you're always there to help. And so I'd say instead of being passive, which I struggle with that early on, we both kind of identified it. Like, I was kind of waiting for you to tell me to do something instead of asking. Everything changed for me whenever I came in with a different mindset every day of, I can do this stuff. I have to ask to do it. You're there for help and you're not going to let me fail. So what am I so worried about? And I think from that point, everything changed.
I think for young people, like, you could come in and say, hey, I'm going to apply AI to improve your business this way. Hey, what systems can I manage on your behalf? You should always ask every business owner, like, what are your three biggest pain points right now? Because if you can solve some of those, you're immediately adding value. So I do think when I'm hearing your talk about it, it wasn't that the opportunities weren't there. It was your confidence to ask the questions and then insert yourself maybe sooner than you thought you were ready.
That's right. Yeah, and that makes me think of a quote of, his name is Higher Up Wellness. He's like a big Alex Hormozy guy I watch on social media, but he talks about, and maybe he stole this from Alex Hormozy, I don't know, but he talks about, you can't fake confidence or build it up. Really, you have to prove to yourself over and over that you're capable of doing something, and then that's how it naturally builds. For me, I feel like a lot of my life, I've tried to just like fake a certain level of confidence, and I can come off that I'm super confident something when internally I'm like, dude, I don't even have any idea of what I'm doing right now. And somehow sure. I got kind of good at that. But whenever you're actually working somewhere where you're doing high impact stuff, managing people's money, building out hyper efficient plans that we're giving great advice to people, hyper serving our clients, there's a little more pressure. You can't just fake that. And if I would have tried to have done that, it would have been a disaster to say the least. And so
I've had other advisors do that. They get to a point and I'm like, they get really good at pretending to be busy and kind of hiding things. And then eventually stuff comes to surface. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here? Because bringing someone to your business is risky. It's riskier if you don't have an onboarding plan for them, if you don't create some kind of framework for them to operate in. And so as you came in, we've improved it before, during, and after you joined the team. But as you were talking, what comes to my mind is that framework of how you mentor somebody. And there's four steps to it. The first one is I do, you watch, which I think we were in that for a few months. The next is I do, you help, which is, I think, really where I made you uncomfortable pretty soon, where I was just like, I need your help. Do this, do this, do this. Because I think the reps are important. You know, it's like, you, one of our core values, getting in the arena. It's like, you got to join me in this discomfort if you want to get better and faster. And the next one is you do, I help. So we're in that stage working on stuff now where it's like, Kyle's creating some content, sitting in on meetings, prepping for meetings, and I still have some oversight. And the eventual goal is you do, I watch. And so for all the leaders listening, if you have people on your team right now, it's never too late to reset with them. If you feel like, man, I didn't onboard them well. Like, I don't even know if I'm being a great leader right now. Or if you're thinking about bringing people on, you don't want to skip any of those steps. I think you can get through some faster than others, but there should be a progression on how are we launching somebody. I think the industry is okay if this takes 3 years or longer. And I know for us, it's like we're going to do that in 12 to 18 months, which more of the aggressive path, which when I hear you talk about it, you're like, yeah, I'd rather be on that one and deal with all the tension and the head trash than the slow average path into the business.
Yeah, definitely. And that goes back to the interview process. I remember you telling me that there's two ways to get into this industry. There's the average path, which at other firms can quite literally take 6-7 years. And then there's, you know, other paths that we're trying to push people towards and what you're doing to me, which is incredibly uncomfortable. A lot of times not fun, but so rewarding. And that can be quick. Obviously, it's not unrealistic. You're not sending me out into the wild and just having me do a bunch of random stuff and just hoping that it works out. We teach people not to do that, but being intentional about what can you do in the next 2 months to get you to where you need to go. Okay, well, what about 4 months? What about 6 months? What about where do you want to be in a year? And so part of it is about having a plan. We talk about that all the time. There's a lot of times since I've worked for you, and honestly, I still am doing some of this, which I'm working on, where I show up, I do a bunch of random activities, and then I get frustrated because stuff isn't working out. And then you keep pulling me back in the conference room and you're like, Kyle, I told you a month ago to stop doing that. And I'm like, okay, well, it still sounds good in my head. And honestly, when I'm driving home from work, like I still feel pretty good about myself because I did a lot of stuff. But what did you actually get done? Nothing great, like nothing great. And unfortunately, we see that at a lot of firms and advisors that we talk to around the country. They're doing a lot of that stuff. And so it's about pushing people out of that as soon as possible.
There's an element. So speaking to the junior advisor, the younger advisor, if you are on a team and you do not feel like you have control of the decision process, like it all kind of rolls up, there's a lot of practices out there where, because we've talked to these younger advisors, where they're like, I can't impact this firm. Like they're not listening to me. I have to kind of fold up into their system. And a lot of advice we give them is like, we need to bring something to them, get permission a little bit to prove to them there's something better out there. Because as a younger advisor, you do have the possibility of bringing something new to a firm and proving yourself faster, where the average path is, I'm just going to follow what you're currently doing. And by osmosis, I'm just going to slowly get better over time. You, at that point, you are abdicating your career growth path. So I'm curious what you would say you're learning, the balances of like, hey, I'm going to push for change, advocate for myself, ask for more responsibility. But I'm also going to recognize I am new to this business. I've never run a business before. I've never hired people, so I can't over-insert myself. How are you balancing that?
That's a great question. Yeah, and I want to be careful when I answer this because like, I want to make sure that what I'm saying is exactly how I'm seeing it and true. There's a lot of times where I feel like when we're in a meeting and I have my own opinion that I don't necessarily want to speak up because I'm the youngest person in the conference room. Like I'm, sure. It'd be like the intern coming on and trying to sell the CEO to stay later and do more work. And everybody'd be like, dude, what? Like never show up. So I never want to be that guy. But what's great about my experience is that we obviously know each other, like not just on a work basis, like on a personal level. And so there is a certain level of comfort. If I'm feeling something, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to tell the team, like we are a work family, which is great. I think a huge part of that is our culture is so good that like everyone's comfortable saying what they feel. But to your point, to your question, like there's just so much knowledge and experience that you have that I don't have. And so it would be foolish for me to always think that I'm right. And most of the time, I'm probably wrong. I mean, so a lot of times when I don't speak up, it's probably for the best. But every time that I have spoke up and told you something, you've never just brushed it off or been like, that's a horrible idea. You'll be direct and you'll tell me like if it's not really how it works and that's not the best idea. But I think from a leader perspective, it's about setting the expectations of like everyone's opinion is welcome. And if they're just saying things that are out of this world, then they're not meant to be in that environment. And so again, a part of that's probably the hiring process that we have, the 5-step hiring process and getting in the right people. But I'm glad that I'm in a place where I can say what I want.
Yeah, there is an element there of, I think, leading with curiosity. I think if you're a young person and you're like, hey, will you explain to me why we do it that way? Versus, hey, here's how I think we should do it. And so I think you lead with curiosity a lot. And maybe there's times where you think like, this is a silly question. But it actually does reveal stuff. I remember there's a story, it's been retold a bunch of times, but there was this special forces group and they were having to like extradite somebody from a country. And they were trying to figure out like, how are we going to get in undetected or something? So all these really smart seasoned veterans are trying to figure out a strategy. And there happened to be somebody on the boat with them that was like a younger person, like wasn't even going to be on the mission. And they were like, well, there's a boat right over there. Why don't we just borrow that one? And it was like a boat of some rich person locally. And it was their input that kind of broke the box of like, no, this is the rules of engagement we have to work by because this is the way we've always done it. And so I do appreciate when people are in the room and they're kind of forcing me to rethink things. And can I hold space for that? Or am I the type of leader that creates zero space for that? And I'm so intense in my communication, so asserting that it's like, there is no space for somebody to like raise their hand and be like, is that the best way to do it just because we've been doing it that whole time? So I appreciate your feedback on that because that is something I have to be careful of.
For sure.
As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that will help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have a full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
So do you think about like where we're going from now? As I look back, I think we had a great onboarding. Like compared to other people I've tried to bring on, like, yes, it's been uncomfortable. You take feedback well. You ask questions. You know, there are days where I can tell you're beating yourself up. And then days where you're, you know, sending me memes and close the business and think you're great. But as we look forward, I mean, it's like things can't always get twice as good. You know, there's like some rate of change to where, you get to enjoy the fruit of some of the early years. You know, I think back when I was young in the business, I was working all day. I was studying for my CFP at night. Like there was a level of intensity required to then afford myself an easier schedule. So where you are now, you're studying for your CFP. You're kind of in license world, kind of focusing on that, balancing it while still trying to show up to work and add value immediately. What does your next 12 months look like? What goals are you having? You're not even a year in, but like if 2 years after starting to work together, what are you saying? I'm going to accomplish this. Let's set the bar for everybody else. It's like maybe thinking a 5-year path. What would a 2-year path look like?
I think we'd both have to honestly sit down in the conference room and map it out. And we have. There's been days where we've talked about my progression and things that we want to accomplish. There's things that are just like out of this world that ideally in my head, we could do it in 12 months. That'd be CFP, I'm just bringing in business, delivering extremely high value financial plans to as many people as possible. But there's so many other things that me and you work on and do together that have opportunity to get leveled up that it'd be foolish for me to sit here and say, in 12 months, I can be where I wanted to be before I even got here. There's things that I'm doing for you now that I had no idea I'd be doing anywhere. And obviously this is a little bit of a different environment than most financial planning firms, but there's a lot of stuff that we work on together. And if I had one single goal for the next 12 months, it would be culture. It'd be training on new advisors that we're bringing onto the team, building plans in half the time that I am now for you, and getting myself in a position to where I can be the advisor that I want to be. That doesn't mean that I'll be there in 12 months, but that also doesn't mean I'm going to take 4 years to get there. I think that was more than one thing. So
I do think there's an element of some firms missing out on opportunities with younger advisors. Like there's firms we've coached and done events with to where, you know, they'll have advisors setting meetings for senior advisors for a couple of years. I'm like, man, what, we got to put them in a position to win, you know, faster, as opposed to delegating or like relegating them to like these lower level roles for too long. And so for everybody listening, I want to challenge you, like apply some pressure, like take some low risk swings. Like when I have you build plans and you bring it back to me and I'm like, okay, here's how I would have done it. It'd be very easy for me to tell you, just do that data input and I'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
If I'm trying to hold on to things and I'm not thinking about like, what's the future here for us. So my goal with you is that in a 2 year period from you starting, that there are things you're doing where you're like, I'm too young to do this stuff. Like there's no way I'm closing that level of client and building that kind of plan on my own. Like there's really no rules out there that say you can't be, except for our ability to make it happen. And so that you are onboarding your own clients, building plans, you know, that you are getting paid $5,000 for a financial plan. That so you have the ability to communicate and be confident to where somebody's going to pay you $7,500 for a plan, $10,000 for a plan. When most advisors that are in their 30s, 40s, and 50s have never done that, like that's the bar I want to set and shoot for. We may not hit it as fast as we want to, but my commitment to you is I will keep applying a healthy amount of pressure, as much as you can tolerate, that you ask for to like get there faster. And to me, I think that represents my 20%. And that requires my time and focus and attention. But obviously, at the end of the day, your 80% is the grind. Like that is you not quitting, dealing with head trash, showing up after hard days. And so for everybody listening, leaders, it's partly on you. But for young advisors, no excuses. Nothing should stand in your way. Like the elite path is there for the taking. It's really just up to you to walk down it.
That's right. Yes, and I appreciate you for the pressure that you put on me. It's not easy, but there's so many other places where I could have worked. And honestly, like the skills that I've gained working here for as long as I've been here, it could have taken me years other places. And so to your point, like to leaders that are listening to this podcast, there's a way to do it and a way to do it in a healthy way. I was just watching like I don't know if it was a TikTok. I got to delete TikTok. It might've been an Instagram reel because absolutely frying everybody's brain, but there's a baseball coach. I think the kid was like maybe 7 years old and he was just pushing that kid to his limit, like almost to the point where people in the comments were like, dude, you're way too intense. But the kid like accepted the challenge from the coach. And then by the end of like the 20 second reel or short or whatever I was watching that was frying my brain, the kid was just hitting bombs in the cage. And it's no different in business with a leader having a junior advisor, financial planning associate, whatever you want to call it. There's a way to apply pressure to where it's healthy. It doesn't make them want to quit and will level them up faster. I'm blessed that I have the experience to have that every single day I show up to work from you. And so, yeah, man, I just want to say thanks for all that you're doing for me. And it goes a lot
further. Tolerance, like you have a higher tolerance than other younger advisors I've tried to bring in, where there's times where they couldn't handle it and they kind of broke under the pressure. And not that I'm in here like flipping tables and yelling at people, but like the head trash got the best of them, of just like, I'm kind of checking out. Like I can't hang. Like they make it 12 months where there's a lot of grace for growing, but as soon as the rubber hits the road and they start having metrics and they're not performing, like some people want to hide and just stay busy. And so For us, I think it's, we have to check in with each other, you know, like, hey, how's this going? I think if we didn't do that well, and I was just hoping I perceived if you're doing well, that wouldn't be healthy. But yeah, there's definitely a faster way to do it, but it requires, you know, help to people on both sides, clarity on both sides. So, man, I appreciate you. You're doing great work. We'll have you back on once you have $1 million book of business on your own.
Yeah, that sounds good. Dude, thanks, man. I appreciate it, man.